Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. And I'm joined by Taylor Freeman. He is the CEO of Upload. And Taylor, tell me, what made you want to be an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I've just always had that entrepreneurial spark. Ever since I was a kid, I've just wanted to start companies and solve problems.
Wow, that's incredible. So at what point did you go, I'm going to leave my 9-to-5 for Upload specifically?
So it was back in May 2014, and Oculus had just been acquired by Facebook, and it was a crazy deal. It was like a $2.2 billion acquisition after only 2 years of the company existing. And so I've always been super into technology, and I wanted to try the hardware. So I started a meetup group to try it, and then I tried the technology and fell in love with it and with the community. And then that just sort of spiraled into what Upload is today.
So it just kind of organically happened, yeah, started with your passion, and then next thing you knew, you had a business.
Yeah.
So what does life look like today? What is a typical day like for you?
It varies tremendously. It typically starts pretty early with me trying to work out so that I can actually get through the whole day, because it's pretty intense. But
that helps you have energy? Is that what you're saying?
I found it to be hugely helpful to actually work out for at least 30 minutes in the morning. It just gives you a lot of endurance throughout the day, mentally and physically. So I guess my day is all over the place, whether it's dealing with funding and investors or handling expansion into new cities or managing team psychology or, you know, building out some of our products. It's really, I'm sort of like the conductor of all the little pieces,
yeah,
and I try to just sit at the middle and try to know enough from every person to enable them to do what they need to do.
So how many hours would you say that you work on average?
Every hour that I'm awake, for the most part, unless
I'm thinking about it, I'm sure. Yeah.
And it's nice because when you're an entrepreneur, if you're an entrepreneur based out of passion around something, then it's very organic. You just are living sort of what you're working. And it's actually, we have a sort of philosophy in the company of like everyone sort of has that mentality, but we also really respect time off. And so when we do that, we encourage people to actually like digital detox and like put their phone away and just try to disconnect and really connect back with other people and with nature and stuff.
Do you do the same? Do you digital detox once
in
a while?
I try to at least once a month just put my phone and like all my electronics into like a drawer. And then I go and I just explore and like walk around the city. And
it's so necessary, isn't it?
It's super necessary.
Yeah. So do you have a tip or trick for being really productive during your day?
So again, talking about sort of the fitness aspect, I can't emphasize that enough. I think it's really important. Also, just eating well and consistently is incredibly important. But in terms of tactics that I use, I have something that I call mental sprints, which are effectively, given like the fact that we have the Apple Watch and the phones and every just bombarding from social media and email, it's really hard to sit down and focus.
Oh, I know.
So I do this thing called mental sprints where I actually will set an alarm on my phone and I'll literally just have headphones on and start the timer. And I'll just let it run for like 40 minutes is sort of the ideal productivity window for me. And I'll let it go. And literally, like, I won't stop unless there's something on fire or like something goes crazy.
So no disruptions. You turn off technology around you.
It's like, you
tell
know,
tell the team, don't bother me.
Yeah. And we have something where it's like two headphones on mean don't bother me. One headphone on means like only bother me if you really need to. And then both off is like, come approach me. And it's like a lot of people will compare it to taking a flight. Like everyone's like, when I take flights, I'm so productive. Right?
Yeah.
So like if you simulate that environment for yourself,
Oh, it's that's really so helpful. Great. That's such a good tip. And when it comes to innovation, how do you come up with your new ideas and stay creative?
I think it's always really just focused on learning and like just trying to stay really up to date and talk to really smart people and get their advice. And then sort of all those things start to combine into theories that you build for yourself and then beliefs that you start to form. And then like, for me, I have this, it's called like a shiny object. I think a lot of us face it where like everything looks exciting and you want to chase different things, but really sort of staying true to like your values and your morals and seeing what sticks over time. And if an idea sticks with you and it continues to evolve, it's probably a good thing to really focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Taylor Freeman. He's the CEO of Upload, and you're in such a cutting-edge industry. So do you feel the need to constantly disrupt it?
I feel like sort of the foundation for the industry is being set by a lot of these major players, like Oculus and now Facebook, HTC, Google, Sony. These major corporations are investing billions of dollars into disrupting it and innovating, like specifically on the hardware and also platform side. So I think my real mission is to make sure that all of this disruption is staying cohesive and that the community is actually focused on the things that matter, which is using this as a new platform to really make a positive impact in the world. So I think it's more just trying to steer all the crazy chaos and disruption that's happening in a way that's cohesive rather than us trying to actually individually disrupt.
So finding new ways of utilizing this technology.
Yeah, and just bringing light to the things that are incredible, like the fact that VR is helping people that are paralyzed walk again and people that have terrible fears overcome their fears. Mm-hmm. So it's really just trying to showcase the amazing things that are happening.
So how would you describe your leadership style?
It's very sort of inspired by Richard Branson, I would say, from Virgin. I really believe that there are people that know a lot more than I do about the different topics that they're put in charge of. And so my job is sort of to sit at the center point and learn from them what they need, what they're doing, so that I can be that central point of knowledge to sort of guide the whole ship. But, you know, my head of education, my head of media, all these people are so much smarter than I am, so much better at what they're doing that, you know, I could never hold that much knowledge in my brain. So it's really just to help enable them and make sure that the culture is on point and that the like we're moving in the direction of the big vision.
And what do you think is the best way to empower those people and those individuals to really do their best job?
Yeah, that's a really, there's an easy answer for it, but it's an incredibly difficult problem. Mm-hmm. From what I've found, it's clearly defining role and clearly defining sort of key responsibilities. And then just stepping back and saying, run with it and do your best and like make mistakes, go big, go fast and learn from those mistakes. But yeah, that's what I've found to be effective. But that takes really good people that are aligned with the big picture and the bit and the mission.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like you've found those great people?
Yeah, no, I'm so incredibly lucky to have the team that I have. It's like I come into the office and the people that I'm working with, I'm just amazed by how knowledgeable they are and how inspired they are by this stuff.
That is super helpful to your business.
Yeah, it's
so
essential.
Yeah. So did you at any point say, okay, we need to have a formal business plan, or was it always just kind of organically growing?
So I think as we've gone through multiple rounds of funding and as we've had board members join and as sort of the business has materialized into something more real, there has been a lot more sort of forward thinking that's gone into it. It began as, again, just solving the problem of putting headsets on people's heads and showing this and inspiring them and showing them what's coming. So I think, you know, it's important to have really like solid guiding values and like a foundation of where you want to go. But, you know, ultimately for us, we just listened to our customers. They said they want workspace with shared resources. So we did that. They said they couldn't find any talent that was qualified. So we started training talent. So I think it's really...
It's always evolving.
Yeah, it's evolving. Once you find product market fit in a way that's scalable, then it's worth sort of building a business model to scale that rapidly. But until then, it's really important to just experiment and see what the market really wants. And it's important to think that you're building something for the customer, not for yourself, and just trying to detach and really focus on what they want.
So like you said, you've grown a ton. What are some of the challenges that have come with growing?
I think there's a lot of challenges that come in terms of just overall team composition, you know, defining roles correctly, figuring out how all the pieces work together to actually create one super cohesive unit, staying super focused on exactly what the company is doing, avoiding shiny objects, as I call them. So I think it's really, you know, a mix of learning how to manage the psychology and culture of the team with sort of understanding how to forecast and build out models for the future and all the challenges that arise and just fighting through it. It's like the job of an entrepreneur is to just solve problems all day.
Just lots of challenges, always. Just keep going.
Yeah.
So your industry is relatively new. So did you find it difficult to find mentors, or who are some of your mentors?
Sure. So we started back again in 2014, which is right when the acquisition happened. And at that point, there was this sort of like, we call it the OG VR crew, the people that were there in the 90s during the first wave, who now just were like resurging because they were so excited to see the accessible consumer hardware. So some of those folks would be, one of our first advisors was Philip Rosedale, the founder of Second Life, who's now working on another VR company. Another gentleman is Tony Parisi, who was the like creator of the virtual reality internet and put the first 3D objects on the internet back in the 90s. So it's been a mix of sort of those folks that came from that 90s era, and then also just people that were part of the internet revolution, people that saw mobile take off that are saying like immersive technology is that same homebrew computer club feel that you had back when the computer was coming online and internet was coming online. So it was just this mass of people that were excited about the medium and also just saw the parallels between what they had seen before. And like, we're just getting really excited to push that and be involved.
That's awesome that you could learn from those people.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Taylor Freeman, CEO of Upload. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs.
Hey, Michelle, what did Jamie's teachers have to say at PTA tonight?
Great, except for math. Jamie's math teacher says that she spaces out during class and that she failed her last algebra exam. That's a big problem.
We went through the same thing with Kevin. But thanks to Math Made Easy, he's made a complete turnaround.
I've heard about Math Made Easy. How does it work?
They've got these terrific video reviews in all levels of math, with dynamic teachers who engage students with easy-to-follow explanations. With Math Made Easy, students control the pace of their learning. Math Made Easy even comes with a 30-day risk-free trial.
Wow, I have nothing to lose.
Right. Math Made Easy is a proven tool that will boost Jamie's grades and her confidence. It's an affordable alternative to pricey tutoring. Here, let me text the number to you. It's 1-866-598-MATH, or you can visit mathmadeeasy.com.
Math Made Easy.
1-866-598-MATH. 1-866-598-6284.
You shouldn't have to choose.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road, and with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 28th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Service. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-973-5533. That's 800-973-5533. Call 800-973-5533 today.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. And I'm joined by Taylor Freeman. He's the CEO of Upload. Thanks so much for being here.
Of course.
So tell me about Upload.
So Upload was born as a community in San Francisco back in 2014. And the founding mission has always been to inspire the future of computing. And with that, it's sort of evolved from being this community where we focused on events and scaling events larger and larger to then traveling around the world, covering with news everything happening in the space, to opening up co-working spaces designed to support the local professionals, into actually providing the training to for enterprise and also consumers to actually get the skills to start building this. So essentially what we're trying to do is provide the most robust ecosystem that we can for the professional community of VR and AR specifically, to help them get access to the things that they need to really grow and thrive coming into this next platform shift of computing.
Very cool. And is there anything out there just like it?
There's some analogs. Nobody that's taking sort of the unique approach of the media, the shared workspace, and the education all verticalized around one specific medium. So we sort of believe that by focusing it on this one subject, you can really maximize the effectiveness of your mentor network, of your corporate partner network, of your investor network, so that all the professionals actually get exactly what they need. They're meeting other relevant people when they're part of that community.
So that's your competitive edge, is combining those elements.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So at what point did you realize that you had a business in the works?
So this was really just a passion project for me to start.
Yeah.
I was running my past company called Magnus Labs, which was an advertising firm. And we were hosting events in the space. As I mentioned, we started traveling around writing about things. And then we had an investor from China actually come to San Francisco and asked to take us out to drinks to learn about VR. And within about 20 minutes of that conversation, he just said, "Do you guys need funding? Like, do you want to turn this into something?"
That's
fantastic. And we were just like, we'll think about it. You know, we're profitable as a company. You know, we're just doing these events, growing the community. And then we really thought about it and realized that there was a tremendous need for support like this, not only in San Francisco, but globally. So I think that was really the tipping point where it became really material and we started running with it.
And that story really encompasses what your strategy is for fundraising, which you told me off camera, but share it with everyone watching. What is it?
Yeah, sure. So it's kind of funny. I've found that if you ask for advice, you get money. And if you ask for money, you get advice. So I'd really encourage the entrepreneurs out there to find advisors that they actually genuinely want advice from, that they believe could really help their business, and then go talk to them and try to learn as much as you can and actually implement some of those things. And if an investor sees you do that and sees the grit and sees the passion, they're going to really trust you and they'll believe that you can execute and return money for them.
So it's not like you're being sneaky and meeting up with them secretively wanting money.
No,
you genuinely want to learn from them. You implement those things. And then organically, a lot of times it falls into place where they end up funding your company.
Yeah. And you want to find people that genuinely resonate with the mission and what you're trying to do, that mm-hmm. can really see the impact that their advice is having on the business. And when they see that, they'll have a real sense of ownership and want to be involved.
Well, and that's a cool thing too, is because you get to know each other.
Yeah.
And so because you don't want to take money from the wrong person that doesn't yeah. understand the vision, but then you get to know each other and it's a good fit.
Yeah.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Taylor Freeman, CEO of Upload. And these fancy things have been sitting here. Tell me what this is and how do you use it?
Sure. So this is the consumer Oculus Rift. Basically, it's gone from the early Kickstarter version, the mm-hmm. DK1, the development kit one, all the way through many different iterations to get to this point, which was just released in March of this year. So this is really a historic device that
awesome.
People will remember as like the old briefcase phone or like the huge laptops
yeah.
with like, 8 megabytes of memory or whatever. This is really sort of one of the pioneering products from the company that really sort of, lit fire under the modern immersive tech industry.
So how does it work exactly?
So basically, you've got right here, you've got lenses that take the image that's projected on a screen inside here and bend the light so that it feels like you're actually standing inside a virtual space. And then you've got sensors on board that actually know exactly when you're moving, sub-millimeter accuracy, where. So it updates the screen, so wherever you look, it feels like you're actually in a new space.
So cool.
It's so necessary.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your team who helps make this community possible.
Yeah, sure.
What's your hiring strategy?
So it's evolved over time. When we started, it was basically just who is the most passionate, smart, hardworking people that we can find that just align with the vision, that want to really take this technology and make a positive impact, and then just surround ourselves with those people and try to align them on sort of unifying things to accomplish big goals. But as time has gone on, as the team has grown, we've ended up really now sort of laser focusing on specific roles. So most recently, we just hired a new vice president of education who is on the founding team of General Assembly's education business to come in and help us scale that to a global business unit. And then,
so they have very specific skill sets.
So it's evolved from the start, which, in some circumstances, I'm not saying the way we did it was necessarily correct, but, at first you just want people that will grind it out with you and no matter what, just like fight through it.
Mm.
And then as you scale and as you start, really realizing that product market fit, finding those perfect people to just step in and take it to the next level.
Makes sense. And then you believe in creating a certain work environment and culture. So how do you align those people once you've hired them to this work culture?
Totally. I think one thing that's incredibly important and seems pretty novel at first, at least it did to me, was really having incredibly clear company values. Some of ours would be like surprise and delight is a huge thing for us. That's how we measure performance in a lot of ways, is like, how often do you come back and like surprise and delight your team leader with like just your progress, the way that you've done something? Or another thing we say is always be branding. Like everything is about brand. Think about brand. Think about how a consumer will think about the company based on your actions. So there's a lot of these things that if you can get people to align with those things, there will be sort of a natural selection of people that are a phenomenal fit. And so that is one thing I would highly encourage any entrepreneur to do right when they're starting, which seems sort of like a monotonous first task, but like just set your company values, set like 5 to 7 really key things that you believe in that you would never want to change. And that'll really help to form an amazing team.
Yeah. And of course it's one thing to set them, but then it's another to implement. So what do you think is the key to that?
Sure. There's a number of sort of hacks to make that accessible and exciting to a team. One thing would be recognizing people publicly. So, one thing that we've done is, every month you ask people to submit ways that they've demonstrated living the company values. And then you highlight people that have demonstrated a tremendous use of a value. We also, every Monday at 10 a.m., we have a full team meeting. And at the end of that meeting, we always go through the company values and we all read them together aloud. And so it's kind of funny and it feels like summer camp sort of,
yeah.
but at the same time, it really does, create that sense of culture. And then the other thing too, I'd mention is like just being so like if something happens and you get frustrated with someone or like they're underperforming for whatever reason, just take a deep breath and really try to see from their perspective why it's happening and try to figure out how you can better support them to succeed and like make sure that the way that you're measuring them is actually effective as a measurement tool, because if you do that and everyone feels like they're constantly thriving and hitting that next level and succeeding, then everyone's happy, everything's growing, and it's all good.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're a great boss and that your workplace is an awesome place to work.
I'm trying.
It's working for you guys. Thank you so much to my guest, Taylor Freeman, CEO of Upload. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. If you own a home, there's a good chance its value has gone up. In fact, year over year, housing values nationwide have risen by more than 6%, one of the largest increases this decade. Quicken Loans has smart ways to help you take advantage of your home's rising equity. You could take cash out to consolidate debt, or you could refinance to eliminate private mortgage insurance. No matter what's happening with the housing market, it's always a smart move to call us at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Experience the confidence that comes from working with a mortgage partner that has your best interest in mind. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org. Number 33.
Now, the club for Biz
your
Talk Radio listeners
with America's
and your
advocate,
Biz,
Kerry Hall.
Biz TV Club is where you can watch some of your favorite Biz Talk Radio hosts and others on the go, on demand, on Android, desktop, Roku, and more. Never miss an episode of your favorite Biz TV shows and have the 24-7 Biz Talk Radio stream at your fingertips. Watch anytime, anywhere for just $5.95 a month with a free trial by using promo code RADIO. Go to bizradioclub.com.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble. I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs.
Alan Shane Fecker is joining us right now. He's the CEO of Share States. What's up, brother? Pleasure to have you on the show.
Not much. Thank you for having me.
So what's your company do? Yeah, I know you guys are in real estate.
Yeah, so we're a real estate marketplace, lending and investing platform, basically like a real estate stock market. So we find different real estate investors, speculators, and developers, underwrite their projects, bring them to our platform where individual investors, family offices, and institutions have an opportunity to invest in those deals.
How long have you been in real estate?
So I'm actually a young guy. I'm 28. Real estate is probably been about 2 years now since we fully launched the company. My background's originally on the legal end.
Okay. How'd you go from legal to real estate?
So it's funny. We were sitting over a family dinner. I was finishing up my last year of law school, and my brother-in-law and his brother were talking with me about, you know, certain businesses and kind of some different business ideas we had. And I was trying to figure out whether I was going to go into business for myself, go work for a law firm, start my own law firm, whatever it was going to be. And this concept was something that my partners had a while back, but the real estate market wasn't really ready for it back then. So they gave me the idea. I came back a couple of weeks later with a business model and a business plan, and they started me up with funding, and we got rocking and rolling.
So you didn't know you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? That wasn't in the plan?
No, you know, I always wanted to do something with real estate, but I, you know, my family and I grew up on the other side of the track, so we didn't really have the finances that you needed to get started in the real estate industry, so I needed to find another way there. For me, the answer was going to law school, kind of figuring out how the legal end of things worked and trying to make some money along the way, and then eventually putting that into my
own. Did you just snowball into debt or something by going to law school or what? That's like the standard.
Yeah,
the average college graduate in 2016 graduates with $37,000 in debt and takes 21 years on average to pay it off. And that's normal school. That's not law school.
Yeah, so it was crazy. I actually got almost a full ride to my undergrad for NYU, and then I got like 80% of my tuition covered for law school. So I came out with pretty minimal debt compared to, you know, some of the other guys I went to school with.
I can only imagine. How did you get that, though, by the way? How did you get the...
Working hard, and a lot of studying. Did well on my exams, did well in school, It's working multiple jobs throughout school, so I didn't really have the extracurriculars, but I guess the guys that were reviewing the application, maybe they felt bad that I was working two jobs throughout school, three jobs sometimes.
Yeah. Well, hey, whatever it was, it worked, right?
Yeah, it worked.
What are you excited about for the future of your business?
Just super excited to scale it. So we our full launch was in February of 2015, so it's been just under 2 years that we've been in, you know, full swing operations. Since then, we've managed to grow to about 40 people on staff, including our technology team. We've obtained over $1 billion in capital commitments from different investors, both on the institutional side and the individual investor side. And we are probably, I think, the fastest growing company in our vertical right now in our space. We just broke about $230 million in originations, and I think we're well on our way to do $1 billion next year. So.
Nice. What does $1 billion mean? Is it $1 billion in revenue through the company?
$1 billion worth of originations at roughly anywhere from a 4 to 6% margin. So $1 billion will generate somewhere between $40 to $60 million in revenue.
Awesome. Yeah. It's quick growth. You've only been in business for how long?
We've been in business for just under 2 years since our full launch.
So what do you think has been the key to making the type of success that you're talking about right now and projecting moving forward? What's been the key to that success?
It's been a combination of a couple of things. A lot of patience and long work hours. Nine to five doesn't really exist.
There's a lot of people out there who've been in business for 20 years and don't do that kind of income. So it's not the patience. They would disagree, right? Yeah, they would disagree because you're only 28. They're like, I'm 50, 80, patience.
Yeah, no, it's 15, 16 hour work days. A lot of it honestly had to do with my partners. I'm the CEO of the company and ran a lot of the operations early on, but we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. So my partners, Raymond and Rodney DeVudi, came from a real estate background. They've been in the title insurance industry for a while. They had a book of business and a network that was basically built to support what we're doing today.
How did you come across those guys?
So Rodney actually married my sister. My sister was really good friends with Ray when they were in high school.
You're like, I got to go into business with this guy.
Marrying
into the family.
Exactly. So, and they've always been really good to our family. We became really close with each other, family vacations, everything. And we hit it off.
Better than that, though,
No.
You're either going to like hate the guy your sister marries, or you're going to go into business with them in your
I love them, honestly. For me, they're brothers at this point, and they're no different than what a real brother would be.
It's awesome. How is it like working with those guys? Like, sometimes there's conflict when you work with family or friends. People say, don't go into business with them.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I've had so many people come on the show and they're like, well, the best thing ever. Like, you have conflict no matter what. There's nothing better than having.
We've done a really good job at separating the two. So we actually, when we're outside the office, we don't bring business into it. So if we're at a family dinner or on a family vacation or whatever it is, our business is our business and we keep that between ourselves. We try not to speak about it at, you know, in front of our family or really just kind of bring it up where it's not warranted.
Okay. So it's just kind of figuring out how to balance the two.
Yeah, it's totally balanced.
As you go. Yeah, hopefully you get
it's
better.
It's totally balanced. Believe me, we've bumped heads. Everybody's going to bump heads from time to time. But you. I think the fact that we're family actually has made us a stronger unit because we always find a way to work around it.
Family always does find a way to work around it, right? We've got the CEO of Share States, Alan Shanefecker, joining us right now. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm curious, on your journey so far, have you had a mentor that's helped you a lot? I mean, sometimes you have people come in here and they're like, I did it all by myself. And then we have people come on and they're like, if it wasn't for my mentors, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Which one are you?
So definitely had mentors. Coming out of law school, my partners will say that I was really cocky and had a very know-it-all personality.
Yeah, you come out of the law school.
So I definitely had that quote-unquote chip on my shoulder. But I learned a ton from my partners, Ray and Rodney. Everything from, they both have very completely different personalities. So Rodney is more of our grounded compliance guy, operations, et cetera. Ray is all about relationships, building relationships, and kind of teaching me how to not be a robot sometimes. So, you know, it's hard when you come out of law school, you're very rigid. You know, you do things a certain way, you write emails a certain way, but when you're building a business and business development, it's all about relationships and, you know, being able to entertain people and really make them feel comfortable with the product.
Do you consider yourself a recovering attorney?
I'm a recovering attorney, lawyer, definitely. Okay.
What do you feel like are some of the lessons? And I'm sure there's a lot, because I mean, when you're an attorney, you learn a lot of the things that protect you in business that most entrepreneurs don't know.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's probably pros and cons. You've probably got some things you're trying to unlearn and habits you're trying to break.
Yeah.
What do you feel like has been one of the best lessons that you have learned from law school that's carried into entrepreneurship?
I think one of the best things I've learned, I'd have to say probably that no single deal or the risk associated to any single deal is worth the potential downfall of your company. So it doesn't matter how lucrative a deal is or how much money you could potentially make, you guys, don't straddle the gray line. Just make sure you're always doing things the right way. You're putting the right processes in place, the right compliance, the right procedures.
Yeah.
The last thing you want, especially in our industry, because we are selling security, we're dealing with the SEC, there's a lot of regulation, you know, whether it's state or federal bodies that oversee us, you don't want to get that phone call or that knock on the door.
Yeah. What about some of the basic stuff? Like for the beginning entrepreneur out there, from your experience, are there things where beginning entrepreneurs kind of try to cut corners and they shouldn't from your, you know, lawyer background?
I think sometimes entrepreneurs might cut corners, but they're not doing it intentionally. It's more about knowledge. So I came at this a different way, which was from the legal end, and I was going into a pretty heavily regulated industry. So, you know, for me, it was all about making sure the paperwork was done the right way. For other people, it's more about business development and making sure that they're delivering the right type of product. So, you know, that's why people have attorneys, right? And their attorneys come to the table and their job is not to make a business decision for you. It's just to kind of tell you what the potential risk and reward is for doing something a certain way. And then you have to, as the entrepreneur, decide, you know, how much of their legal advice you're going to listen to.
Are you the one that does all the attorney stuff for your business and contracts?
Yeah, so in the beginning I did. Over the last year or so, though, we've outsourced it.
Obviously. As you grow.
We've grown, so we've brought on different
income.
Attorneys.
That's not your highest income and impact activities
exactly.
as CEO.
Exactly.
What are you attributing your success to in regards to your ability to find and retain the right talent? I feel like so many people come into the show and they're like, my biggest problem or our biggest key to success, one or the other, is the team.
Yeah,
we can't retain great millennial talent, which is a big problem. We get the millennials in and then they leave.
Yeah.
Or on the other side, it's like we figured out the secret sauce to building the right team.
So company culture is extremely important.
Especially if you're growing as fast as you guys are.
Yeah, so we kind of have two things that interplay there, right? We run a very family-based environment, so it doesn't matter. We have millennials come in and, you know, one of our head marketing people who we love, she's a great asset to our team. She started with us just about a year ago now. Came to us one day and said, hey, you know, somebody in my family is looking for a job. I'm the only income stream right now. Would you guys consider bringing somebody in? And we said, without a doubt, bring them in immediately. Interview was probably the quickest interview we ever had because nothing else mattered to us. For us, it was just kind of taking care of our own.
Yeah.
So that's one. And number two, it's just making it a fun work environment. So whether it's hosting pool parties or doing a happy hour or just kind of have everybody meet together on a Friday at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock and just cut the work week out short an hour and just, you know, grab a beer and hang out and let everybody connect or doing Secret Santa, just fun things that we can figure out to like help people connect and make sure that it's a fun environment and everybody's enjoying themselves.
I love that, bro. Yeah. What do you feel like is the thing that really stops entrepreneurs from becoming successful? When 96% of businesses fail and get shut down in 10 years, 96%. Go out of business in 10 years, and only 4% survive. That doesn't mean they're thriving. That doesn't mean they're profitable. They just are surviving. Most of them are barely getting by. Why do you feel like 96% of businesses fail within 10 years?
I don't think most people that get started in a business know what they're getting themselves into. I don't think they realize.
They think it's this pie in the sky dream and it's going to be easier than.
Yeah, it's like owning a home. You think you're going to buy a home and you have a mortgage payment you make every month, but there's a billion other things that go wrong. Your roof mm-hmm. needs to get replaced. Your
plumbing.
Pipes break.
Yeah.
It's like anything else, right? There's a ton of unforeseen circumstances, and when you run a business, you're going to run into those issues. So you might not realize how many legal barriers there are. I have friends that have started businesses and they've run into issues with the FDA or whatever else it's going to be, whatever regulatory body oversees what they're doing, because they just don't know that there's somebody governing what they want to do. So they get started and they put all this time and energy into it and they hit a wall.
I think they underestimate it. I think you're
100%. They underestimate it.
There's a big laundry list of things we could go into, tactics, strategy, psychology.
Yeah.
But I think a simple one to sum it up is most entrepreneurs fail because they overestimate what they can do in a year, underestimate what they can do in a decade, which is kind of like what we alluded to. If somebody wants to follow you or learn more about you or your company, where can they do that?
They could go to our website at shareestates.com. It's shareestates.com. Or they could follow us on Twitter.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
How would you like to learn the secrets to engaging followers on social media? Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. Become an influencer. Business Rockstars is lifting up the kimono and giving you the secrets to social media. And it's free. Join us for our Social Media Startup Bootcamp, a live online event Thursday, March 2nd, 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com. Learn from rockstar CEOs, including Leonard Kim, who will teach you how to become an influencer, Jennifer Puno, Instagram social media ninja, and SEO and social media guru Austin Hay. The Business Rockstars Social Media Startup Bootcamp. Engage and grow Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn social footprints. Click, like, share the Business Rockstars Social Media Startup Bootcamp live Thursday, March 2nd, 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com and sign up now. That's businessrockstars.com.
Do you have $10,000 or more in outstanding federal student loans? Well, you may qualify to have your entire student loan forgiven with one free call. That's right. If you're a teacher, police officer, firefighter, or work for a nonprofit, you may qualify for new federal programs to have your entire student loan forgiven. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information on all the programs that can help. And the sooner you call, the faster you can get relief. Get the maximum loan forgiveness, loan reduction, or consolidation available. Plus, find out in the first free call what you qualify for. A loan forgiveness specialist is standing by to answer all of your questions for free. So stop worrying about student loan payments. If you have $10,000 or more in federal student loans, this information could change your life. Call 800-801-4950. 800-801-4950. Wipe out your federal student loan debt. Find out how. Call 800-801-4950. That's 800-801-4950.
I'm Bob DiRico Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Now that another football season has come to a close, the focus of the sport will now shift from exciting touchdowns to safety concerns like concussions. The debate over whether football is too dangerous is not new. More than 100 years ago, football was nearly banned because of carnage on the field. In 1905, 18 people died playing football. Calls for the game to be outlawed came from major newspapers and presidents of some of America's largest colleges. However, President Theodore Roosevelt was a big fan of football, so he brought together the top coaches and authorities to push for new safety rules, and they did just that. Their efforts even led to the creation of the NCAA. Let's be fair, that story is fascinating in part because the entire episode took place out of a courtroom. No lawsuits, just cooperation. It's a great example for all our leaders in sports and government today as they, if you'll excuse the pun, attempt to tackle our current problems. Learn more at centerforamericatv.org.
You shouldn't have to choose a random...
My word. Number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
We hate to be sold, but we love to buy. How can you fall in love with sales? Mike Arce's going to tell us how. He's the CEO and founder of Loud Rumor. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Take it away, brother. A passion of ours we're both in alignment with is sales.
I love sales, and I love saying I'm a salesperson. A lot of people don't want to say that because we're brought up to not think salespeople are good.
Yeah. Right? Oh, salesman.
But the reason is because a lot of them are not properly trained. And so they're always worried about just getting the commission. And so sometimes we'll use slimy tactics, and we were brought up being sold by them, and we'd want to be everything but them.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think the best salespeople in the world are really great at creating win-win situations, right? Where they can look their customer in the eye 6 months later after them being sold and them being serviced, and still look them in the eye, and the person's still wanting to buy from them.
And you want to invite the salesperson to your family dinners or something, because you're actually a
friend.
You
want to refer.
They care about you.
Right. So I believe if you have a great product or you have a great service, and you really believe that the person that's sitting across from you or potentially buying it could really be helped, then it's your obligation to learn how to sell that better, because this person 6 months from now may be in a worse position if you don't.
Yeah. And if you, right? I believe that if it's truly your moral responsibility for two things, first, to not ever think or know that you can help somebody until you've first taken the time to understand them, regardless of if they're the exact profile, this is the exact person. You don't know until you at least ask them a few questions. So I think that the beginning of every sales process starts with a few questions to diagnose, to understand where somebody is. And by doing so, then you can know what to prescribe them, if anything at all.
I think almost the whole first meeting should be questions.
Yes.
You know, and I'll tell you the best three questions you should ask right off the bat, right? Just to kind of get things going after you build a little bit of rapport, getting to know them. I'll tell you right now, the three things that people think subconsciously, to really be great at sales, you have to learn how to study the subconscious and why, you know, why you should learn that, because it's so great. That's where people really buy.
Yeah.
It's not up here. And you know that because there's been times where everything makes sense on paper and
logically,
something doesn't feel right. And so you don't do it, and vice versa. Nothing makes sense, but it feels good. And so you do it, right? So you have to get into the subconscious, not the rational mind, in order to sell them. So the three things that they're going to think, whether they know it or you know it, and they're not going to tell you, is why should I do this? Why should I do it with him? And why should I do it now? These are the questions that are going to be, because we're really good at selling ourselves out of things so we don't buy. Like maybe I should, I'll give you an example of fitness, right? Let's say you're a personal trainer and I'm sitting down here and I came to you and I want to be possibly trained with you, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm here. So right now, what I'm going to go through to sell myself out is maybe I don't need personal training. I could do it myself. I'm just lazy, right?
I'll watch some YouTube videos about it.
And then I'll say, well, maybe I shouldn't do it with him. I mean, there's so many other people. Maybe I should shop around first.
Yeah.
And then, well, maybe I should wait till tax season when
or
I get my
income. Wait till the New Year resolutions.
Right, right. So why with him? and why now, right? So what you should be doing is asking those questions before they ask those in their heads and overcome those three. You overcome those three, it's a soul deal.
I got you. So it's like the old thing, overcome the objection before they have it,
right?
And then it's easier to kind of say, well, based on what you told me, you said time's not actually an issue before they can say it. Based on what you told me, in your opinion, you feel like the price is irrelevant.
You don't even have to say it because it will come up.
Exactly.
Because the way it works is, hey, so tell me why you're here. Why do you want to do personal training? And they'll say something like, well, you know, and now they'll start saying the reason, but then you go back and you say, yeah, but why have a personal trainer? Why not just do it yourself? Why not just watch YouTube videos?
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you what you would tell them, right? But they're saying it. They're going to say, I just feel like I have somebody holding me accountable and I have this, I have that. Okay, that's great. Okay, so now you go, that's awesome. Well, but why do you want to do it with me? There means 1,000 personal trainers in the world. Some of them are even cheaper. Why me?
Yeah.
And now they tell you all the reasons they're here with you, what they saw on social media, what they heard. They're buying this some themselves.
Yeah.
And you go, that's cool. But why now? Why not 6 months ago? Or why not in 4 or 5 months when you get your tax returns back?
Why? And then they're going to tell you all the reasons why now.
And now they're telling you now. Okay. Now it's a soul deal.
Yeah.
Now it's done. Now it's just time to start asking questions about them. Their favorite topic in the whole world is themselves, right? And getting to the pain. So you start out by saying, tell me where you want to be. So and little by little, no matter what business you're in, right? I don't care what you're selling. In marketing, it's the same thing. Why do you want to do marketing? Yeah, but why with us? But why now?
Mm.
You know, if you're selling anything, those are the three main questions. If you can get those three questions answered and then find out what the pain is, which you'll find out easier once these are asked, you will make the sale.
We've got the CEO and founder of Loud Rumor, Mike Arce, in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about how you can fall in love with sales. Again, we all hate to be sold, but we love to buy. We're going over some great questions and some other things you need to do to fall in love with sales. Something I think is important, we talked about this, we haven't brought it up yet, is how to fall in love with sales, but why to fall in love with sales. So why do people need to fall in love with sales when I feel like a lot of people feel like icky about sales? You know, I just want the easy sales that fall on my lap, the ones where somebody wants to buy. I don't have to sell them or influence them into buying. Why do we need to fall in love with sales?
Yeah. Well, first, before you even know the why, you have to know this. You should not learn these because this is a power. It's a skill that once you learn how to sell, it's a superpower.
But
it could be used for bad. So you have to have a product you truly believe in. Okay, because once you have that, then the why is there, right?
Okay.
If you don't believe you can help that person, you should not use these powers. You should let them go.
Okay.
Now, once you know you can really help that person, that's your why, right? So my why, as let's say for fitness marketing, right? Like what I do for people, and everybody has what they do with the problem they solve. I'm looking at the person across from me, and I'm hearing his story. I'm hearing his pain. And this is a guy that maybe for the last 4 or 5 years has been considering closing his doors. He can't seem to break through. He doesn't want to close because he's embarrassed. You know, everyone at his family barbecue asks him how business is going. He always has to say great, right?
Yeah.
And so he doesn't want to close. And plus he loves what he does. If I know that I can get this guy to turn his whole game around, I should be using every skill and power possible. Because once I learn how to sell, then I can get this guy to have a whole different life. And my life is better, right? You know how great is it to hear?
Yeah.
I know you deal with it. How great is it to hear people say, like, I'm so glad I met you. My life wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you.
It's the best feeling ever.
And it fuels you to get better.
Yeah.
So when you're running a business, you are selling all the time to everyone, right? You're selling to your wife why you have to work late at night. You're selling to your family why you can't make the barbecue. You're selling to your employees the vision of the company, why we're doing what we're doing. Your vendors as to why maybe you can't pay on time.
Yeah.
This, but it doesn't mean you're tricking them. You got to get that out of your head, because that's why people don't want to be salespeople. They feel like they're tricking. You're not. You're getting people to buy into why you're doing what you're doing so they can have your back and support you. I want to tell my wife in a way of, you know, that makes her want to support me having to work late tonight.
Yeah.
I want to tell my family that doesn't make them feel like I'm ditching them. I want them to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. When you learn how to sell why you have to do certain things, when you learn how to sell, period, you can have much better conversations and have people support you. And that makes you stronger.
Mike, right? Always a pleasure, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you are one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be entitled to disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free no-obligation consultation, call 800-504-1639. That's 800-504-1639. There are a vast number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-504-1639. 800-504-1639. That's Citizens Disability. 800-504-1639.
BizTalk Radio,